Go ahead and open up to Ephesians 5. In some ways, this is a continuation of this morning. I'm not sure yet what we're going to call that one, but either you are a whole person, you're not really, you know, although we dissect and talk about spirit, soul, and body, you're not any one of those three without the other parts. You are a whole person. And so, but ultimately we are the body of Christ. And so that's the other title I'm thinking of putting on there. But what's happening this past year, and especially the last 6-7 months, when he's been so, and really it's been longer than that, I think, where I started bringing the chairs down, spirit, soul, body, and we started really analyzing all of that. And during that time, he also, boy, did he teach us about the flesh and what we're supposed to do with the flesh and how we are not our flesh and how we have to bring it under dominion and all of these things. But I find what's happening in me, and I hope it's happening in you, as I'm understanding his will for us in the age that we're living in, there is a great calm coming to me. I am understanding the war better. And the enemy now is not so able to condemn me because I'm still dealing with sinful flesh. That's the war. He understands that. That's what we're in. And what he doesn't want us to do is raise up the truce flag and start accommodating the flesh or surrendering to the flesh, either one. So Ephesians 5, it's always, of course, the whole book of Ephesians is just amazing. The whole Bible is amazing. And we don't want to teach the whole chapter, but starting in verse 1, you can't start anywhere else, you know. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And here he starts talking about our walk. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not you therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, and really the better translation there, you were at one time, before you were born again. You were at one time darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Walk as children of light. That's who you are now, see. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now, I started to start with this verse, but that's good. You understand the context. He's talking about our walk, how we're supposed to walk in this present age, right? Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. When I read that, I think, if Paul thought the days were evil in his day, what would he say now? Dear Lord, you're afraid to even let your grandchildren in the room with the TV on. Even during, quote, the family hour, you never know what commercial's coming on there next. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And that's the verse right now. I think I understand better than I have in my whole Christian life after this teaching that he's been doing for the last somewhat less than a year. I understand better than I ever have before who I am. I understand the age that I'm living in. I'm not living in that perfect world yet. I'm certainly not wearing a glorified body. I'm certainly not got a body that doesn't have the motions of sin in it. I certainly don't have a perfectly renewed mind yet. I'm still seeing Jesus through a glass darkly. You know, we're translated or changed into that same image as we behold him through a glass. But we're all seeing him through a glass darkly at this point. John says, we read it this morning, on that day when he appears, we're going to be just like him. Because we're going to see him as he is. And there's that transforming power of the Holy Ghost, see. But I'm understanding what the will of the Lord is. And I'm going to do a quick synopsis of this morning's message. You are a whole person, spirit, soul, and body. And God the Father, he is sanctifying you completely. Not just your spirit, not just your soul, not just your body. He is sanctifying. He's in that. We are sanctified and being sanctified. You already belong to him. You're already accepted in the Beloved. You're his child. But has anyone noticed there's some purgings yet to be done? This is not rocket science. We're all on the same page here, right? Well, he has given us these tools whereby if a man has this hope within himself, this hope of one day living in a perfect world with the Lord, with a glorified body, if you have that hope in yourself, you purify yourself. But it says here that God sanctifies you. So which is it? Because purify and sanctify, those Greek words both come from the same root. Well, it is God, by your choice, to utilize the tools that he's given us. He's given you the Holy Ghost to help you with any stronghold. I told you this morning about my weedy stronghold. Some of you wasn't here. I had polio when I was a little boy, 5 years old. And the day it manifested where I stood up to walk and I couldn't walk, I was eating a bowl of Wheaties. And that was a horrible time. I was paralyzed for 6 months in the hospital. I was really fortunate not to have worse problems than I've had in my life. And logically, even then, as a six-year-old boy, when that was over, I knew that the Wheaties had nothing to do with that, with all of that pain. I knew intellectually. But a stronghold developed. Strongholds are deeper than your mind. They're deeper than your intellect. They're deeper than your emotions. You can want to be free all you want. But I could not eat a bowl of Wheaties from age 5 until after I got born again in my 30s. And I tried. And I would think about it. I think, this is crazy. I'd go buy a box of Wheaties. This is crazy. I know there's Wheaties have got nothing to do with polio. But a connection had been made. A stronghold had been erected. Something. All strongholds are not sin. That, you know. And it took the new nature. I was never free until after I got born again. And one day I could. And I would try. I'd buy a box of Wheaties before that. Pour the milk. Pour the bowl. Dip the spoon in the bowl, trying to bring it to my lips. And my hand would begin to just shake. Everything is. I could. And I knew if I did get it in my mouth and swallow it, it wasn't going to stay there long. It's going to come right back up. Strongholds. That's why he gave us the Holy Ghost, though. He gave us the Holy Spirit. If you've got a stronghold like that, that your logic, you know, sometimes it's just, now, again, the way, sometimes it's not a stronghold. Sometimes it's just a sin that you love. See, there's never any amens when I say that. There's never any amens. Sometimes it's not really a stronghold. You just don't want to quit it. You know? Those we have to deal with. That's called repentance. But I'm talking about a real stronghold. You don't even know why you keep doing it. Why can't I eat a bowl of Wheaties? You know, why? And that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit, when you don't even know what to pray as you ought, he will make intercession for you with groanings that can't be uttered. Why can't it be uttered? You don't know what's wrong with you. You don't know even why you're doing it, see? But he gave us that tool. But what it means, where it says, he is the one sanctifying, and you are the one purifying, What he means is he's given you the Holy Spirit, but it's up to you whether you're going to avail yourself of him or not. You're the one that decides whether you're going to pray today. You're the one that decides if you're going to get into his word today. You're the one that decides if you're going to push away from the table today. All of that is up to you, and that's how you purify yourself. But trust me, any change that comes is by the grace of God. It is him that's doing the change. So the age that we're living in, a peace is coming to me. It's okay for Gary to struggle. That sounds strange. I used to be under condemnation all the time because I struggle with things. My flesh would want things, and I didn't understand it. I had this thought, like, and I find it out now with Nathan and others teaching, I'm finding out I wasn't the only one. I kept thinking that if I just prayed long enough, I like how Alan said it, if I just did the tongues long enough, the tongues would just slap all that flesh stuff out of me. It'd just go away, and my flesh would not give me any more trouble. And that is the big lie. That's what we have to understand about the age we're living in. In this age, your flesh is not saved. It's not going to be saved. It is the proverbial dog that returns to the vomit if you let it. It is the sow that will return to wallowing in the mire if you let it. The only thing restraining your flesh is your new nature. Human energy can't do it. It can do it at it. It can do okay for a little while sometimes. But the Jews proved to all of mankind for how many hundreds of years. I don't care how much you love God. I don't care how much you want to keep the law. Not one could keep it. There's none righteous. No, not one. Not one could keep it. The only way that they could walk in the righteousness of the law is every time they sinned, they'd have to offer the appropriate sacrifice. Human energy cannot walk free from sin. That's why God gave us the new nature. So that he says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Suddenly there's a great calm in Gary. There's a peace coming. My flesh, I'm starting to understand. It's okay. There's not something wrong with me because my flesh keeps wanting to sin. That's the war. That's the age that I live in. I take hope now. Hope. It's not always going to be this way. There's coming a new heaven and a new earth. There's coming a glorified body. I'm going to have one of those rascals that's going to be really good looking. 33 years old, right? And it's not going to want to sin. I can't even hardly imagine that. You know, I can't imagine talking to my body. Hey, body, let's go sin. And my body goes, no, I don't want to. Who ever heard of that? See? But a righteousness actually in your body. None of us know what that feels like. So that's the age that we live in. So understanding here where it says understanding what the will of the Lord is, for the days are evil, I'm starting to understand better. And there's condemnation falling off of me like a crazy man. I am living in a sinful world, wearing sinful flesh, with a partially renewed mind. But thank God I know the truth. I have been given a spirit that is full of power, that is free from the law of sin and death. And no matter how badly my flesh wants to sin, and maybe my mind at this point still loves that sin, maybe there's a part of me that still loves that sin, my spirit can still rise up and say, no. No. I have a nature on the inside of me that has the law of God written in it. And I don't have to go to school to find out it's wrong to lie, and it's wrong to steal, and it's wrong to covet. If you're born again, you have that on the inside. And it's a perfect guide for righteousness and holiness. And by the way, that part of you is born fully mature. That nature doesn't grow in righteousness. If the same book, well, you're in Ephesians, right? Go back up to chapter 4 and it'll show you. Sorry, in verse 21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now he's not talking. Your old nature has already been. It was taken away when you got born again. That's the law of the Spirit of life. When you got born again, you received a new nature. He's not talking about that nature. This letter is written to people that's already been born again. When he says put off that old man, who's he talking about there? He's talking about the flesh. He's talking about that part of you that's not saved, that where the motions of sin are still in your members. My flesh, or if you let it. Now, again, I was saying this morning to him, I know what it's like for my flesh to be addicted to alcohol. I lived that way for 10 years. I was a functional alcoholic. I could still do business and things. But man, I would literally break out in a cold sweat if it dawned on me I was somewhere that I did not have access to alcohol. I would literally start, sweat would start pouring from me, just nerves. Yet I could function in business really well. You wouldn't know it. But still, I know what that's like to be addicted. Now, I have not had a drink in over, it's been 35 years. 35 years, see? And I've trained my flesh. My flesh doesn't crave that. It never bothers me now. It did at first, especially when trouble would come. Go find your crutch. Find the alcohol, see? And, it did at first. But I've trained my body now. It's probably been 25 years since I even thought about having a drink, really. Seriously thought about it. Maybe 30 years. And so the body's been trained. But you know what I've learned? My body, if I let it, I could let the sow wallow in the mire again because my flesh is not safe. I could go back to smoking again, even though it's been well over a decade now. And my body doesn't, I've trained it. It's trained. It doesn't crave nicotine anymore. Boy, if I had time, I'd just stop and worship right now. You guys just don't know. I know what it is to be addicted, okay? And it gave me hell. My body gave me hell getting off of it. But I've been off of it a long time, and it doesn't give me trouble. But I'm telling you right now, it is the sow. It is the dog that will return to its vomit. It is not saved. And if I let it, it'll go right back to those things. And it'll develop a addiction to them again. We have been given a nature that has set us free from the law of sin and death. But it's up to you. This is the purifying part. Are you going to yield to that nature? And if it's something, in this season, we got a two-prong teaching going on right now. Number one, repent of sin. That's what the message to the prayer center and you individually, and Gary individually. If there's anything left that is known sin, repent. And if you know it, repent of it. That means stop. And if you say, I can't, first off, that's a lie. Okay, first off, you can. Now, if there is a stronghold, and I got to be honest with you, the longer I'm in this, stronghold is usually used more as an excuse now. Most of the time, I have a stronghold. Maybe. But most of the time, what I'm finding, you just still love that sin. You just still love it. You don't want to go through the agony of getting rid of it. Okay? Don't ask me how I know this. I'm the poster boy for this. Okay? Now, if there is a stronghold, like the Wheaties thing, a real stronghold, okay? That's why he gave you the Holy Ghost. And it's still up to you. Are you going to yield yourself to the Holy Ghost or not? I want to be free. I want to be free. Do you? If I could be invisible and follow you around with an invisible stopwatch and that time sheet, that time utilization sheet that Tim passes out, that has... If I could follow you around invisible, I won't go in the bathroom, or where you change clothes. But I'm saying, you understand what I'm saying? What if we really tracked you? What if we really find out? Not how much you say you pray. God, I didn't say that out loud at the prayer center, did I? Not how much you think you pray. Yes, sir. See, he's always... You wait till it's your turn. He'll make you tell stuff too. Tim, when he first started giving me those, have you ever seen those time utilization sheets? It's all day and it's broke up every 30 minutes. And what you're supposed to do is every 30 minutes, write down what you're doing. Write down what you're doing. Don't put it off till later. Do it right then because you'll make it better later. So I told him, I said, hey, give me some of those sheets. I'm going to do that. And I thought, bless God, you know, my prayer life's pretty good, you know. So he gave me a handful of those, and I'm keeping it for like a week or two, you know. And the only thing about Tim is he remembers stuff, you know. About a week went by or so, and he says, hey, you going to let me take a look at those time sheets? That you, did you fill them out? I said, yep. You going to let me see them? Nope. There's not a chance in this life you're ever going to see those. Not ever. I was so ashamed of myself, but it was a real eye-opener for me. If you would have just asked me, I would have told you, well, I'm praying Zama, you know, so much time a day. And I found out I was fooling myself. I was fooling myself. I wasn't really doing it. I wasn't really praying like that. I was sneaking in a little here and a little there, but it wasn't like... I had to make a commitment. I had to start going back to the early days. Start planning my prayer time. This is when I start. I want to have a... Now, I don't care if you know. I mean, you know, I'm not... My personal... Right now, bare-bone minimum, 2 hours, private prayer time. What I mean by that, not doing other stuff. If anything, I might read my Bible. If anything. But I want to do it when the phone's not going to ring. I'm not going to be answering emails. I'm not going to be mowing the grass. I'm not going to be doing anything. I want to be just listening. Waiting on the Lord, praying, okay? And for me right now, 2 hours a day seems to be His mind. Now, that's not counting. I get in lots more prayer than that doing it, because I pray nearly constantly. If I'm not speaking English, I'm praying usually, or sleeping. So, but I'm talking about that. I had to plan it out. And in my case, because the ministry now had gotten so busy, I had to start getting up early again. Because nobody calls me at that time of day. I don't have to answer any emails that time of day. But I had to make up my mind. Am I going to do my part or not? Am I wanting to purify myself or not? Am I going to yield to Him the tools that He's given me or not? And I started keeping that timesheet again, and I'm doing a lot better now. Doing a lot better now. And you know what else? I'll just go ahead and tell you this. It wasn't hardly any time after I made that commitment and really started doing it on a daily basis. God started moving in our lives like crazy. All kinds of things began to happen. So you don't understand, it's not just the purging. That prayer language has got so much packed in it. It's not just the purging and the understandings and the revelation knowledge. It's you're also praying His will for your life. And He began lining up things. He would give the prayer. I don't even know what it is. He just needs my authority to speak it in the earth. And as I'm speaking this prayer, then He's going, okay, I can answer that. This is a prayer from Him that He wants to answer. And all He's looking for us is the authority. The humbleness, the humility to say, yes, Father, I'll pray the prayer that You want to pray. So You can answer the prayer that You pray. And we still fail. How simple can He get it? Just move your lips, boy. I don't understand your... Can you move your lips? Oh, I keep sinning and I don't know why I keep... Can you move your lips? Just let me... I understand your problems. I understand my plan. Can you move your lips? And here it comes. The mind of Christ, the plan of God. And literally, you are praying with the authority He's given you. You are praying His very plan for your life. Whew. Excuse me, I got to go pray in tongues. I done talked myself into it again, see? Isn't it amazing? No wonder the devil's fought tongues so hard. He's fought tongues harder than he has the cross. And that's just the truth. The church I grew up in, they preached the cross accurately. You could get born again there. But boy, you start speaking in tongues, you're going to receive the left foot of fellowship really quick, you know. And that's the way it is in so many churches. Why? Because it is so dangerous to the enemy's camp. Well, I'm understanding what the will of the Lord is. His will for me is to continue yielding my time to the Holy Spirit. His will for me is to continue yielding my mind to His Word. I got some, we had a youth conference here 2-3 weeks ago. And, they're young people. Most of them were in their 20s, maybe early 30s. And when they got back to this one group I know really well, they come from Pastor Bronx Church down in Immokalee. Just wonderful young people. And he had them give a testimony service when they got back. And I got to listen to it. It's online. And it was amazing. See, the very first service that Nathan, being in their generation, Nathan's what, 29? He just had his 29th birthday. Nathan's message, his first one was, I know my generation. I know you guys. You do not read the Bible. Their testimony, we were talking in the van. We don't read the Bible. We don't read it. We don't get in the Word. We don't read it. We might listen some, or we might hear teaching, but we ourselves, he's right, we do not read the Bible. Some of them, before the week was out, went to very different bookstores and bought Bibles before the week was out. It's up to you if you're going to renew your mind to his word or not. He's given us the tools to sanctify us. You can be purified if you want to be purified. You don't have to continue walking the way you are. I'm getting where I'm okay. I'm understanding now. Okay. He understands that I'm wearing mortal flesh. He knows that I'm in this war. He understands that I'm not that I'm living in this sinful world, and there's temptation on. Just open your eye, and there's a temptation just everywhere, everything, all the time. And all he's asking is, be light. Walk as a child of light. Walk using the tools that I have given you. Read the Word. Speak the Word. Pray in tongues. Meditate, assimilate. Spend time in worship. All of those things. Walk as the children of God that you truly are. Now, I've got about 15 minutes. I did a message quite a few years ago. No, it was the last conference is when it was, called The Visitor. And in my prayer time, the Lord, he hardly ever has me go back and watch my own message. But he had me watch that one here just recently, The Visitor. See, Jesus said, no man has ascended into heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. We've only had one visitor from that realm. Someone who has lived there and knows what it is to live there, according to the physics there, and then come here and walk among us. There's only been one, and his name is Jesus. He existed with the Father. He said, Father, I'm coming back now. That fellowship that we had before the world was. He knows that realm. Yet he came to save us and instruct us in a form like us. He actually put on sinful flesh. Here he is, the very righteousness of God. He is God in the flesh. Yet he came, he laid it all down. He laid down every right and privilege of divinity. And he came, he was born with a nature. Actually, if you want to know the truth, his first nature was your second nature. He was born with the same nature that you got when you got born again. Wearing sinful flesh. And he comes and he tells us things because he knows how to bring the power of that realm that we're from, where he's from. He knows how for that kingdom to overcome this kingdom. He knows how to bring the power from the realm of the Father. Can I say it that way? He knows how to manifest that power here. And he's the only one. The Pharisees had never been there. The Sadducees had never been to that kingdom. No man has ascended there. The only one that's come is Jesus. And he's telling us, if you'll listen to me, I'll teach you how to walk as children of light in this present age. If you'll listen to me, I'll teach you how the Father's kingdom can come and his will be done here. just like it is in heaven. Somebody might say, well, we're not sure you know. You come to my next service. So they'd come to Jesus' next service. The blind would see. The lame would walk. The deaf would hear. My favorite, the maimed were made whole. Now, they're walking into the service missing a leg, missing an arm. Either it could have been a birth defect or maybe it got tore off in some kind of accident. While they watched, the leg grew out. I thank God for every leg that grows out here, but here we're talking about 2 or 3 inches, maybe 6, 7. There we're talking the whole leg. The leg was missing, and it grew out as they watched. Now, I don't know about you, if I'm sitting in that crowd and I watch Jesus do that, I'm going, I think this man knows what he's talking about. I think he knows how to manifest the will of the Father on planet Earth. I think he really is from that realm. Perhaps I should listen to him. Well, he began telling us things that to the natural mind make no sense at all. He began telling us things like this. He says, all of those parables where he would say, this is the way the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God is if a man would sow seed onto the ground. How about the one where he says, and he would sleep and rise night and day? I mean, it doesn't, you spend an hour confessing the word. What are you doing? You're sowing seed. You're sowing his word into your ground. You'd sleep and rise night and day. At first, it doesn't seem like anything's happening. Anyone ever plant any real seed? Doesn't look like nothing's happening. I always want to go dig it up, see if anything's happening. Of course, you kill the seed when you do that. No, you sleep and rise night and day, but the seed, it springs forth of itself. What we got to understand about the Word of God, God's Word has its own image. Every Word of God contains the image within it to bring forth the promise into your life. He says, well, here's how the kingdom works. You sow His Word. The sower sows the Word. You sow the Word. And you don't let the enemy distract you. He's trying to warn us. Now, this enemy's going to come because he's of this world. And the enemy, he's going to use persecutions and afflictions and the cares of this world. In Luke's gospel, it says the pleasures of this world. Either way, he's just trying to get you distracted from the truth that's in that seed. He says, but you know what? He says, if you don't get distracted, you'll sleep and rise night and day, and that seed will spring and grow up of itself. Because it's got the image in itself. The Word has the power to produce its own promise. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Smith Wigglesworth, one of my heroes. I like following people that made it. You know, that this worked, and they didn't wind up in scandal either, you know. And he was called the apostle of faith in his generation. Raised how many people from the dead? He would pray and they'd watch. There's thousands of people. Somebody come with a big tumor on their side. You can see it. He'd pray, bam, splat, and the tumor would fall on the platform. And they'd ask him, how do you get faith like that? What is faith like that? How did you get that? And his answer was always the same. First the blade. Then the ear. Then the full corn in the ear. And as I would continue studying his biography, he was a man of the Word. He would spend hours every day in the Word of God. He never read anything else. He would pray in tongues, worship, and read the Word. That was his life. He continually sowed the Word, sowed the Word, sowed the Word. He had a standing offer to anybody. I think then, today it would be about the equivalent of $100. He said, if you can ever find me without a Bible on my person, I'll give you $100. He never had to give the $100. Isn't that something? But he understood. He took Jesus at his word. How does the kingdom work, Jesus? On what great faith? The sower sows the word. The kingdom of God works like this, Smith. If you'll sow the word. Sleep and rise night and day, sow the word. One day that word going to start producing of its own self. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. But it doesn't start by trying to have faith. It starts by sowing the Word. God, I'm preaching good. I can tell I'm preaching good now. He taught us other things, this visitor from this other realm, things that we don't think are important. Go ahead and turn to Mark 11. I want you to see it in your Bible. I know you probably know it by heart. I'm pretty sure I can quote it verbatim, but let's make sure. Starting in verse 22. Now here's the one that knows how this works. Here's the one from that kingdom. And he says, have faith in God. Well, how would I do that? Well, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now the key to that verse is, you have to be a person that believes that what you say comes to pass. Now when I read that, I cannot read that without assimilation. Instantly when I read that verse now, assimilation always takes me to James, the book of James. Let that man who does not bridle his tongue, if you don't learn to bridle your tongue, your religion is in vain. You got to bridle your tongue. How did you become a person that truly believes what you say will come to pass? Well, you got to quit deceiving your own heart. You got to quit saying stuff that you know. And that's not, we can have humor. How many are grateful for Dave's humor? I like what Tim said that time. He said, Dave's humor is like the enzymes that helps us digest the meat of the word. And I think that's right. But it's one thing to have some humor. That's good. But saying all kinds, and see, to us it just seems so silly. My back is killing me. Nothing ever works out for me. My daddy was poor. His daddy was poor. I ain't ever going to have nothing either. I just can't this and I just can't that. Deceiving your own heart. You don't believe what you say will come to pass. That's just talking about yourself, not even talking about what you say about other people. But Jesus knows how this works. He says, look, if you want to function as a child of light, if you want to function like you see me function, you have to become a person who believes that what you say will come to pass. Nowadays, I'm phrasing it like this. See, because we know what happened here. What happened? He spoke to the fig tree. No man eat fruit of thee again forever. And the fig tree dried up from the roots. How did that happen? The Holy Spirit enforced the words of Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that went into operation. Guess who goes into action when you become a person who believes what you say will come to pass? And you start speaking in the name of Jesus. And you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe what you say will come to pass. That same Holy Spirit is the one that manifests those words. Good stuff. This is how the kingdom works. This is the only one that's come. But we think, oh, it doesn't matter. I can just say anything I want. It doesn't matter if I talk trash all the time, you know. I just tell it like it is, Brother Gary. I just tell it like it is. Well, God calls those things that be not as though they were. He doesn't tell it. There is no power to change what is by saying what is, because it already is. See? All you're doing is reinforcing what is. Okay, here's another one. Verse 24. This is the visitor. This is his instructions. He says, you want God's power on planet Earth, do you? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Please teach us. We know you're the only one that's come. You're the only one that's been there. You know how this works. Please teach us how to pray. He says, okay. Here's how to pray. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. We read that and we go, yes, thank you, thank you. Then we pray and we don't see instant results. So we don't believe that our prayer was answered. See, we tend to believe when we see the manifestation. And that's not what the visitor said. That's not what he said. We tend to believe, yeah, he hurt. How do you know you're healed when I feel healed? No. You've reverted back to this world. That's the way this world thinks. No. He says, no, you believe you're healed the moment that you pray. Look at it again. When you stand, no, what things soever you desire, when you pray. And when do you believe? When you pray. Believe that you receive them. Plain English. Your daddy said yes. Your daddy said yes. See, John, assimilation does this to me. See, now when I read this verse, I can't help but go to John, 1 John. If we pray anything, if we ask anything, that's according to His will. We know that He hears us. And our confidence is, if He hears us, if He heard the prayer, then we have the petition that we desire of Him. John's teaching exactly the same thing. Where do you think he got that doctrine? He got it from his Lord, Jesus Christ. He got it from the visitor, the one that's here. That's why Jesus was so perplexed, and we've only got about a minute left. See, can you see what we're beginning now to walk as children of light, to understand we're not perfect, to understand this is the age we live in. The war is okay, people. What I'm saying is that war is going to continue. Get used to it. You're going to have to put your flesh on the cross. And don't be condemned because your flesh still wants to do stuff. But you've got to put it on the cross. Eventually, you've got to deal with it. And if you can't, if there really is a stronghold, pray till that's gone. But there's a peace coming in me. It's like He understands the war I'm in. He understands. And He's equipped me, though, for total victory. He's equipped me for total victory, see? And I don't have to continue living the way I am. I don't have to continue in any sin. I don't have to continue. There is no stronghold in me that's bigger than God the Holy Ghost. He is way smarter than I am dumb. He'll get it across to me if I yield myself to Him. And stronghold or not, I'll walk free. I will walk free. And my daddy is cheering me all the way. But in the meantime, there's some other things I can do. I need to straighten up my mouth. Lord, set a watch on my lips that I not sin against Thee. See? And when I pray, not take it so frivolously. When I pray, that's why I like the ring binder. Nowhere in Scripture can you find thou shalt buy a ring binder. But for Gary, it's been a great tool, and I still use it to this day. Because I like to make note, this is the day that I asked. This is what I asked for. This is the day that He heard me. And this is the day that I believe that I received. Everything that we have in the ministry, blowing my mind. She's worked for our ministry. I did a few years ago volunteer work, and in there was high dollar duplicators. They were like $1,000 or $2,000 a piece. There was multiple computers. There was printers. There was DVD duplicators. There were all of these things. Yet Sue and I'll be honest with you, Sue and I, there was not hardly a day when there was excess money. During that time, we'd have to believe in. We might have cassette tapes and bubble mailers, so we'd make them. You were there, right? They were stacked to the ceiling because there was no money to mail them. But everything, every piece of equipment, the duplicators, the printers, the copiers, everything came this way. I would petition it. I would ask the Lord. I would date it. I would put it in my ring binder. I'd never ask Him for it again because I believe He heard me the first time. And I'd confess it, and I'd confess it. And either the actual item would come in or the money to buy the item would come in. But He did exactly what He said. Praise God. Amen? We've got to learn to function the way He said. And I got to add one more here. Because if you don't get this part, and the reason, especially there's a move in the earth today, the radical grace people, and they're saying you can forget this. This is verses 25 and 26. See, the one from that realm, that same one that taught us those things, here's what else he said. Verse 25, and when you stand for, how many want your prayers answered? I want my prayers answered. How many of you, when you speak, you want the Holy Ghost to enforce what you say? I do too. Well, when you stand praying, forgive. if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, that he'll forgive you your trespasses. The number one thing you can do that violates everything Jesus did was walk in unforgiveness. Because, honey, you did not earn your salvation. He forgave you all your trespasses. He paid the price. He said, step aside. You deserve that cross. Step aside. I'm going to get on it for you. You deserved hell. I'm going there for you. I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to pay the price for you. I forgive you. And then you turn around and don't forgive. You just violated the very core of the gospel. So if you want this to work for you, forgive. Remember my testimony. If you have trouble, I had a stronghold there. I didn't really know how to forgive. Pray and listen and follow whatever simple instructions he gives you. And you will from the heart soon be able to forgive. And it's wonderful when that happens. Okay, I got to quit. Is this good stuff? I want that peace. I feel so much. I don't feel condemned anymore. This war, I understand it's going to go on the rest of my life now. I don't feel condemned about it anymore. I understand, flesh, you and I are at war, and it's going to be that way. And I'm going to win this thing. Amen. Flesh isn't going to win over me. I'm going to, you know, I've triumphed some. I got some more to triumph. What are they? And that's none of you. I'm not asking about your stuff, you know. But we win. Amen. Walk as children of light. Let's listen to the visitor, what he told us. He knows what he's talking about. Okay, we got to quit. That's, man, we could just go on. Could we? Isn't it good? Good. Can that? I pray that same peace now starts coming on everybody, that we understand what we're, the age that we're living in. And it's, we're at war. Okay, he understands that. We win.